From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and
Johnny. All right, good morning. Jaguars Today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Duval Doom in the house. Sir, how would you describe yourself right now? What would be the best adjective as a Jaguar fan?
Angry.
What's your
name? Simple
just,
one.
Just from the record?
Not just from the record. I'm angry about things that have been said and things that have been allowed to be said and there's a lot of anger in my heart right now.
You're disgruntled.
Disgruntled is a good word.
Is what you are right now. And, I think it's certainly 2-6. It's disappointing, but I know you're out there on Twitter. You're on the social media. You're aware of everything that gets said. I know you're not happy with the pushback that the fan base has gotten from the players. We'll talk about that a little bit today. Give me a reason for optimism. I threatened you with an all positivity show when you came in.
You did.
I'm not going to impose that upon you.
That would be bad because it would be a short show.
I agree. There's not a whole lot to be positive about. There are some things certainly out there. So give me what you are most looking forward to before I have a feel. I don't want to say pile on. Express your upset with the state of the Jaguars right now. What is the main reason or reasons to be positive about the second half of the season?
I think that we have reached the point in the season where the defense has begun to gel, so we may see continued improvement in the defensive side of the ball. I think Jalen Ramsey is my hero, and I love him. And I think that we have some winnable games on the schedule, as much as you can say any game is winnable for a team that's 2-6.
You love Jalen Ramsey. Why? Just because you've liked what you've seen from him between the white lines? Or
some of that. I mean, yes, his play is fantastic. I also appreciate emotional outbursts, and I understand they're not necessarily always good for the team in those situations, but it makes me feel better as a fan to see somebody get as frustrated as I am.
Because you want a visual expression of what you're feeling, even if it's not necessarily caused by the same thing. I mean, Jalen Ramsey hasn't gone through years of frustration.
Yes. Right. No, he hasn't. But to see him emotional about the team made me feel good because I feel emotional about the team. To see Jared get emotional on the sidelines made me feel good because I feel that way about the team. I realize that they aren't getting emotional for the same reasons that I am, but there's still frustration there.
Did you think making the move from Greg Olsen and Nathaniel Hackett was the right one at the time it was made?
Yes.
Do you think it was Olsen's fault, the state of the offense? I mean, is he, or put it this way, was he the biggest culprit?
The biggest? No, the biggest is Blake. Blake's not playing well.
And you can't really change the quarterback.
What are you going to do, go to Chad?
Right. I mean, even if you could literally change out the starting quarterback, but you're invested in this guy.
Yes.
As opposed to, you know, coordinators come and go.
Correct.
I've said it. I don't fault Gus whatsoever. Why wouldn't you do, if I'm in Gus' position, I'm doing everything I can to throw Hail Marys every single week.
Well, right. The thing that really cemented it for me, and it was after the fact. When they did it, I wasn't surprised and I wasn't against the move. But what really cemented it for me was when the conversation turned to the way that Greg and Blake appeared to be interacting during that Thursday night football game. Your quarterback shouldn't be sitting 5 feet away from you, not speaking to you while you're reviewing plays with Chad Henne. That shouldn't have happened. I don't know why it happened, but we all saw it. Once somebody pointed it out, I pulled my DVR up and went back to the game and fast-forwarded, and sure enough, he's sitting at the end of the bench not talking to the offensive coordinator.
Why do you think they're able to run the ball all of a sudden? I mean, was it simply a matter of committing to it? Because they had success really right off the bat. I mean, Ivory, first couple carries, boom, boom, he's picking up big yardage.
Well, I think some of that is a little bit misleading because I'm not sure that the Chiefs were at full strength. I mean, I know the Chiefs weren't at full strength, so I wonder what would have happened if we'd committed to the run and say Justin Houston had been back there.
Yeah, but I mean, I get it. That's you can make that argument, but you know,
they've been pretty good this year without
Luke Jokel either.
Yeah, no, you're right. I don't know. It seemed like the play calling was a little bit different. I had not seen For example, I had not seen Chris Ivory. I believe one of the first plays he had where he broke for, it was 9 yards maybe, was a sort of a slanting run where he kind of ran in between the hash marks but a little more to the outside. Not that run where he tries to get out to the corner and then turn, but it was just sort of a diagonal run up through the middle. I hadn't seen that happen before, or maybe when I saw it they were running into the backs of everybody every time because you can't tell where they're supposed to go when that happens. But it looked to me like they called some quicker run plays, if that makes sense. I have an aversion to the misdirection handoff that Greg Olsen seemed to call so often on running plays because I don't think Blake's very good at it, where he holds the ball out one direction and then at the last second shifts it to a different direction. He doesn't move his hands fast enough, to me anyway, watching on TV.
You're saying he's got a loop in his handoff?
I mean...
Like that's for, a little tongue-in-cheek for people who can't figure it out.
Right,
the Luke Jokel comment was as well.
Right, but here's the thing. Like, and this is going way back, but I know everybody remembers this. You remember when Tom Brady ran the Statue of Liberty play against us in the playoff game?
Sure.
Yeah.
Remember how fast his hands moved? He fooled even the cameraman.
I don't, because I didn't see him. They were that quick.
That was ridiculous.
Yes.
And I'm not sure that that's a play that works, and it seems like that was a running play that Greg Olsen ran a lot, and then we'd get hit in the backfield. I don't know. That's the way
it looks. Yeah, I don't like – in the NFL, I think there is kind of a timer as to when the ball needs to be at or past the line of scrimmage because everyone's too fast, too physical. These slow-developing plays, unless you've done something to fool somebody,
right?
You know, then that's a different scenario. But this Jaguars running offense simply hadn't done anything to fool anybody. The passing offense wasn't good enough to make people move around, you know, on a play-action fake or any of that kind of stuff. So when they ran that stuff, it did just look like, oh, he's handing it to him and he's getting hit. Like, that's because no one's respecting what you're trying to set up by doing it. I will say I felt like on Sunday they just committed. And you could tell early on in the game they came in and said, we're going to run the ball. You know, we haven't done it yet, but we're going to run the football in this football game. And they were really successful doing it on first down, which is not something that they had done to this point in the season.
All right, we are just getting started here live at EverBank on Jaguars Today. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Duval Doom's in the house. We'll talk Jaguar football with you for the next couple of hours. So give us some feedback today. We've got some interesting angles we want to explore with Doom from the fans' point of view. But he doesn't speak for the entire fan base, so weigh in with your point of view as well, whether you agree or disagree with whatever you hear in terms of the Jaguar conversation this morning. Our question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush Family Dealerships, and you can hit us up on social media with this one or call in for that matter as far as that goes, is we would like you, now that we're cresting past the halfway point of the Jaguars season here, to make three bold predictions. Doesn't have to be positive, good or bad, whatever, but bold predictions for what could happen for the Jaguars, what you expect or think might happen for the Jaguars in the second half of the season. Hit us up on Twitter at @Duval_Doom, at @MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. The text line, as always, driven by Duval Ford at 641-1010, and that's the same number for the phone lines as well. Three bold predictions today for the Jacksonville Jaguars second half of the season and a kind of a fans referendum on where things stand now, 3.5 years into the Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell regime here in Jacksonville. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, and Duval Doom in the house. It's Jaguars Today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday, live at EverBank on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at EverBank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, glad you're along with us. A Metro Rooter Wednesday. For any size plumbing job you may have, residential, commercial, industrial plumbing, septic systems, restaurant grease trap service. Think about it. If there's anything having to do with plumbing and it's not working right, Metro Rooter has a solution for you. Same day service, weekends included, the right people with the right equipment. They're not going to keep you waiting. They're going to get the problem fixed the first time around. And they've been serving Jacksonville since 1978 with that simple formula. Again, the right people, the right equipment. That's what makes Metro Rooter the right call to make. If you have plumbing issues, MetroRooter.com online and at 695-1911 on the phone. 695-1911 for Metro Rooter, our Wednesday sponsor of Jaguars Today. Do you feel all haughty and superior, Doom, when John Osier walks by now? I think it's fair to say we didn't include you. Aussie Jag, you can only on Twitter put four poll options. And
right.
It was
number
clear
that
if he put you in the poll of our sometimes sporadic weekly hosts, that you would have clearly outpaced several of those schlubs who
probably,
you know, like particularly Osier, who I think he got some sympathy vote
that
there
guy
towards the end.
I mean, that guy.
That guy. He just walked by and just shook his head and just, you know, he's He's a jealous sort. He saw Lauren Brooks in here last week. He wouldn't come in on
right.
a normal day.
Right. He didn't come in today either. he just did this dismissive
just
wave.
Just kind of, you know.
Fan.
There he goes. Number five, we'll call him from now on. He's been downgraded. All right. Doom, you are, for folks who don't know, Doom, he's a longtime Jaguar season ticket holder, you know, super fan, however you want to, very passionate fan. We've had him on before because for some reason we kind of like him. He's the only person who's ever been blocked by me on Twitter and has been pulled back out of the abyss, which is nice.
Thank you, Tom Coughlin.
Yes, TCJ Fund did it together. Could he bring us all together? Well,
That's a different conversation.
All right, Doom. Again, you don't speak for every Jag fan, but you got the pulse of the fans. You're out there. You're very active on social media. You've got a lot of friends. You're in the BCB. You do all these things. You're invested, right? Emotionally invested, financially invested in being a fan, all these different ways you can be invested, time, commitment, and all that. So I know it bothered you when some of the players at various points this season have made some comments critical of the fan base. And I know we've discussed this issue before, but I wanted to give you the platform to express your opinion on it. So what are a couple of the things that were said that really stuck with you the most that stand out to you?
The two that bothered me the most, and you know, I'm not going to go over every single one of them, but was the one that I know you guys discussed, which was, you know, we get our best home field advantage at Wembley, which was Allen Robinson. And then just the other day, literally Monday, Allen Robinson replied to a fan on Twitter, which I agree with Tony. I don't understand why you're still replying to any fan on Twitter. I've edited him several times. I know I shouldn't. I've done it in anger, but he hasn't responded to me. But he responded to a fan with, "You don't get trophies for buying tickets."
Ugh.
And I wanted to.
You don't
get
trophies for losing a bunch of games either.
No, you don't. And the thing that really bothered me the most out of all their reaction was this quote from Shad. And I know we've talked about it. A winning season is everyone's reasonable expectation.
Right. That bothers you? Or
no,
it bothers you that they're not.
Bothers me that they're acting like we shouldn't be upset when the owner
right.
of the team
right,
said
okay.
it was a reasonable expectation.
Yeah. The back. Look. If somebody comes after you personally and says you suck, you're a substandard person because you don't play football well or something like that, I don't honestly have a problem with people pushing back against that, because knowing how I am, if somebody wants to talk about me personally, if they want to say you're a terrible host, that's fine.
Right,
you
but
know,
if they come at
you
personally,
have ears.
Sure,
I,
of course.
I get it. I am a terrible host.
And we
host.
Have. There are many people on Twitter who make it a big, you know, they have a big policy of I'm not going to say anything to players, and that's probably the best way to be. I am an emotional guy, and I have said things to players before. You know, for example, Mercedes Lewis blocked me a long time ago on Twitter, and I love Mercedes, but I said some critical things that he didn't want or need to hear, so he blocked me. That's the way you should handle it. You should block him. I will say, I don't disagree with anyone's right to respond and say anything they want, and that includes players. The thing that bothers me the most is that there has been no response from the organization about the criticism of their customers. We are their customers.
Well, in a way, there had been a response. I mean, Tony Khan advocated the fans just basically putting a smile on their face and rallying around them and going all positive for the second half of the season. I understand that they would like that to be
right.
the case, but
I felt like Tony and I spoke privately with a few other fans. He did have a conversation with us. I'm
sure.
not going to share everything that he said, but I felt like in Tony's case, what he was really saying, and he didn't come out and say this, so I may be putting words in his mouth, but it felt like he was criticizing more us going not just at him, because there was some
the
criticism.
Personal stuff.
Yeah, it was employees of the team, not the players. There had just been an exchange with one of the guys who's a network engineer here, because he had said something kind of not bad, but a little critical of fans, and several fans had gone at him for that. And I just kind of got the feeling that Tony was maybe saying not them.
Well, maybe, but I guess
that's not what he said. You're right.
If you put it that, no, I'm not saying forget. Take Tony out of the equation. He's commenting on the outside of the situation. I don't recall the specific one. I don't. Believe
right.
it or not, I don't live in the Twitter sphere. I use it as a tool, but if you want to put it out there, whether you're any kind of employee, whether you're responsible for the product on the field, you know, you put your opinions out there. You're going to get people who don't like him.
And to be fair, you know, that exchange actually ended, I think, positively. I wasn't mean to the guy or anything, but, it, you know, we talked and we expressed opinions and it ended civilly and it was the end of it. But I just feel like, you know, a couple of things that I know everybody's kind of aware of, but I just feel like, you know, like I remember having a conversation with Martineau a couple weeks ago when the criticism from the players began about how many of the players don't know and shouldn't know, and it's not their job to know what we've been through. And I know you and I talked about this, and a lot of people probably saw it on Twitter yesterday, but it's been 328 days since the St. Louis Rams fan base saw a home win. It's been 332 since the Jacksonville Jaguars home fan base saw a win. It's been 3,224 days since the end of our last winning season, and it's been 6,143 since we last hosted a playoff game.
All right, so let me ask you, do you think fans are owed a successful football team?
I don't think that you can go into every season reasonably expecting a successful football team every time that you – and I'm not even just talking about individual games, I'm talking about the whole season. No, it's hard to win in the National Football League. But I do think you can expect that when you have gone as long as we have gone without winning and we boo in our stadium that we pay thousands of dollars to come to, nobody's going to criticize you about it. And even, you know, I get
– frankly, let me just interrupt for a second.
Sure.
I'll let you finish. If you're it probably – this is probably at the extreme end, but this is how I feel. I've always felt like if fans pay their money, if they want to stand the entire game, that's it's a sporting event, for goodness sake. The people that complain about people standing up drive me crazy. People that complain about booing, I don't care if you're 12-0. If you choose to boo because they're playing poorly in the 13th game, that's still your prerogative. So
right.
I
get everything. You know, like for so many years, I remember on Twitter we would make fun of Eagles fans because they boo everything. I mean, they boo all the time. But you know what nobody ever accuses Eagles fans of? Not caring. They're at their stadium and they care about their football team, and so do we. And, you know, for Malik to say, I saw more Raiders fans than Jaguars fans. No, you didn't. You saw a lot of Raiders fans, but there weren't more of them. That's a lie. That didn't happen. Now, were we loud?
All right. Let me just be fair here, too. Right. Absolutely. But I think Malik Jackson is trying to be a propagandist. You know, I think that's inartful,
the way he
expressed it.
Sure.
And I'm not – I don't – again, I've
and he's
been
the
pretty
least
clear.
One. You're right.
Don't go out to the fans. But I'm talking about when he says there were more, I think that's just understood hyperbole. At least to me, it is.
It probably is.
It's more
it
like – I'm sure, you know, just trying to put myself in their perspective, you'd hate to see a massive chunk of fans from the other team cheering you on. So be it. You know, win games. Those people will pipe down. Your home fans
will start coming to
games. Or just play better within those
games.
I get it.
And the thing I think that most of us were the most disappointed in, again, was not the players' reaction. That hurt. It sucked. I didn't like hearing it. But what – I don't know. Can you imagine a player or players continuing to do this in New England?
It's a different
– Bill Belichick would have had him in a meeting and been like, that's it. Shut it down. If you can't, you just don't say anything about the fans. Shut up. Don't say anything. Like, I'm disappointed there's no reaction from the team to stop it.
I do think there are certain players that would, for instance, Richard Sherman doesn't seem to care. That's a winning team. He'll say whatever he wants to say. You know, so I do think, look, the Patriots are a different organization. They have done a good job through fear and intimidation. I mean, honestly, like the fear of not being around. Jamie Collins, go to the Pro Bowl. If you're not on board 100%, see you later. And they could talk about it being a football decision and not a finance, whatever. I mean, so you're right. Maybe that's what you need to aspire to as an organization, but not many organizations can at least currently pull that off, I think.
You're right. They probably can't, but I have a difficult time believing they can't just say stop.
Right. Can you
just knock it off? Just don't respond to those people.
Right. We cannot compel you in the United States of America to not open your mouth. I guess you could under certain circumstances, but you know what I'm saying. Right. Just have, you know, use a little forethought, like you said, use the block function on Twitter.
Sure.
Or the mute function, for that matter.
Right.
Because then it doesn't hurt anyone's feelings.
I wouldn't even be on.
They
like,
don't even know.
I'm serious. If I was a player, I wouldn't even be on.
But
Twitter.
I get, I mean, they're young guys. I get wanting to be on social media. And you know what? That's fine. Again, it's fine. I just am disappointed that the reaction from the organization hasn't been, even to just say, hey, we have the best fans in the NFL, which, you know, every team says, but just some kind of something to
sure.
say, you know, we appreciate you guys.
And
we
it feels
appreciate
like,
it.
Yeah, and it feels like the players are reacting to that minority of the really kind of ignorant fans that are just lashing out in anger and saying, you guys aren't working. We know you're not working because we're watching you lose, so you guys aren't practicing hard enough that you'd even respond to me on Twitter shows me that you're wasting your time. Like, and I get, if I was getting thousands of those, which these guys probably are, I would be upset.
And I've been the guy doing it.
Right.
I'm not saying I'm innocent.
I would be upset.
You're a bad person.
But I'd ignore it.
I definitely sent tweets to Allen Robinson just expressing my disgust with the stuff that he said.
In season, my conversation on Twitter, if I was in that kind of position, would be one way. I'd get on Twitter. I'd tweet what I want to tweet. I'm not even looking at anybody responding to me.
So the way Lagerman uses Twitter.
Yeah, that's all I would do. Because I don't need to see what you have to say. I know they're going to be mad. We're 2-6. They have a reason to be mad. I'm not going to react to any of that.
I think it was just the biggest thing to us as a fan base. And again, I don't speak for the fan base. But for me, at least, it has been the last 10 years or 9 years, however long it's been since 2007 when we were a good team. We have always had the fact that we are a heck of a fan base to be proud of.
You still do.
But the one group that can add to the narrative and give ESPN even more fodder for how much Jaguars fans are crappy has started saying that we're crappy. And that bugged me. Biggest advantage in Wembley? I mean, okay, good for you. Guess what? You're 500 in Wembley. When was the last time you were 500 in America?
Right. 2-game winning streak.
Right. I mean, so, you know, I don't have anything against the fans in London. I sometimes sound like I do because I just get so frustrated that we lose that game. I don't like that that game goes to London. I just
don't. I understand.
Don't.
I think it's under the way at the point Shad Khan took over this team, I think it's a necessary evil.
Absolutely.
And I don't mean it. Again, I say evil, and again, I've gotten to be friends with. In fact, yesterday, you know how Facebook posts 2 years ago today or whatever?
Right,
2
right.
years ago today, I was getting drunk
with Stoff?
With the boys over in London.
Yeah.
And one of my videos popped up on Facebook that it was, from what I can recall, it was a hell of a night.
And look, the thing is, I firmly believe the whole NFL's going that way. There will be a slate of games in London.
They're all getting drunk in London.
Well, yeah.
No, Cincinnati's going in the playoffs every year. They gave up a home game.
Right. It's going that
way. To London.
It's going that way.
That's a team that's making the playoffs every year. Yeah, we'll give up a home game.
It's going to happen. I believe eventually there'll be an 8-game slate, and they're going to strong arm even the teams that don't want to give up their home games.
Quite frankly, that would be a phenomenally great thing.
Absolutely.
I think, because then everyone's kind of on an even footing. Everyone has to have that kind of travel commitment. You shut down that whole, you know, notion of London is a viable place to put an NFL franchise, which
right.
I think is crazy.
It's not.
I mean, at least not the way
to be competitive.
Things are.
It's just the
currently
competitive. Yeah, it's
comprised.
The competitive nature of the NFL. It would really handicap a team to be in London. But,
all right.
You know, so it really bothered me. I mean, we pour a lot, and I know you know this, and I know everybody knows this. But man, coming to this stadium in September, when it's 103 degrees and you're surrounded by Packers fans and the team goes out there and they lose. They played hard. I wasn't mad. You come back a week or two later. I don't remember. I think it was a week later. It was hot again. It was nasty again, and they lose. And then you come back a few weeks later and you look at the temperatures and you go, hey, it's only going to be 80 degrees. It should be better. It's not. I don't know how it works in the magnification of Everbank Field, but 80 degrees is still 102. And you sit there, and they lose, and they lose badly. And then you let your head coach, your former head coach, come in here and make you look stupid. And we were still there. We were still cheering. Bold City Brigade was still there. The fan base was still there. There are people in every section around me screaming for that team. There are people screaming for them at the end of the game. They're not as many of them, but they're there. And to act like we're not is just...
I understand, man. You're upset. I would say this. There are probably at least a few people out there saying, hey, breaking news, Duval Doom. It's hot in Florida, okay? You should have known that when you bought your tickets. I'm I'm kidding.
No, I get
I'm
you.
Kidding.
No, I get you.
All right. I want to move off that.
Sure, sure.
And, because I want to get into the state of the team on the field and what they can do, where there's areas for improvement, where there's hope for improvement this year, and what are the trouble spots that worry you going forward as well. If you'd like to get in and weigh in with your opinion today on any aspect of Jaguar football, you can always do that at 641-1010. Dr. Stephen Lucy will join us a little bit later on as we'll get the injury report from our friends at Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, and Duval Doom in the house live at Everbank on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Hey, folks, Mike Dempsey here for my friends at Harry's.com. Harry's Razors giving me the best way to shave that I've ever seen since I started shaving, quite frankly, because their product is as good as any, if not better, than any razor out there on the market. And I've tried a bunch of them over the years, folks, but with Harry's, not only do you get a superior product, but you get it at a better price. Big razor companies have always just made a tweak, a small change, they come out with the newest version and they jack up their already high prices. Unlike those guys, Harry's doesn't believe in upcharging, which is why they make their razors even better and they keep prices exactly the same. In fact, Harry's is so confident in the quality of their blades, they're going to send you their popular free trial set, which comes with a razor, a five blade cartridge, and shaving gel. And you can get this free trial set when you subscribe by just paying $3 for shipping. Plus, I have a special offer for our 1010XL listeners. Enter my last name, Dempsey, D-E-M-P-S-E-Y, at checkout at Harry's.com. You're going to get a post-shave bomb thrown in free with your order. Go to Harry's.com right now. Enter code Dempsey at checkout. Claim your free trial set and post-shave bomb. That's Harry's.com. Promo code Dempsey. Start shaving better today with Harry's.
Jaguars Daily is brought to you by Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the official sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
The Jaguars will play host to the Houston Texans on Sunday. And yesterday, Malik Jackson joined the guys of Midday Chalk thanks to Farron Fair to talk about Sunday's matchup against the Texans.
We're going to try to build off the last performance, continue to get to the quarterback, you know, make them hold the ball as a defense. And I know offense is going to go out there and score their points. I think it's going to be a hard game. They got a solid team. I think Brock's a great quarterback. And then I think that, you know, they got a good O-line, so we'll see.
This has been Jaguars Daily, brought to you by JOI. I'm Jordan DeArmond.
Who's going to be this week's superhero?
Bring the juice today, brother.
After the action, listen for the Roland Reich Plumbing Offensive Player of the Game.
Just keep making plays, man.
Roland Reich Plumbing.
Great job.
On 1010XL, 92.5 FM. From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
I apologize if I hurt anybody's feelings, you know, but I think Sunday, if you guys show up and yell your butts off, you know, we can go out there, we can bridge this gap, and, you know, we can be great again.
There you go. Malik Jackson.
Yep, that was him.
Heartfelt, sincere, you buying it? You like that?
Is that good
for you for having him say that?
I think Malik is a strange case because I think Malik is genuine in that he wants to try and, I mean, he's not trying to hurt our feelings. I believe that. I also think you played in Denver where they boo you for everything. Like, those people are the most spoiled fans. They were booing Peyton Manning the last time we played out there. Remember how that game ended?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But they were booing Manning because they weren't beating us by 40 points. They're kind of like, don't let JP hear this, Alabama fans. If you're not winning by 30, you're losing.
No.
That was for my wife.
Well, I mean, at least he put it, I apologize if I hurt anyone's feelings. He didn't.
That's not the same as I apologize.
Well.
But it's fine. Again, Malik was the least of them.
Right,
I really genuinely, in my opinion, Malik was the least.
And honestly, I want to let you come in and express your opinion on it. I don't know how much, you know, until it happens again, benefit there is to,
not a lot.
Like, we all feel the way we feel about it. Nothing's really going to change about that. Hopefully, players learn a lesson from it. Hopefully, the small percentage of people out there on social media that go over the line with personal stuff dial it back a little bit, and then, you know.
Well, I think you're going to see. I know there's a large section of the diehards that, I mean, I have personal friends, people that I consider very good, close friends. They're not coming. They're not coming Sunday, and they say they're not coming again. The only exception is that the majority of them say they'll come when Jimmy gets inducted because they don't want to miss it.
This one on the text line driven by Duval Ford is from a person who clearly is not in that group. He says, Doom, what's the food of choice at the slab this weekend? Hashtag BCB, hashtag Duval till we die, signed the hybrid 904.
It is a Thanksgiving potluck, so whatever you bring to share with all of us.
Oh, okay.
I think Eric is.
What are you bringing?
I am probably going to smoke a turkey.
Okay.
I think Eric's
going to smoke that turkey.
Yeah. Smoke something out there.
I think Eric's doing the meat stuff. I don't know. I might do a side since I have to talk to Eric. He's our tailgate guru or food guy.
Not a big smoked turkey guy.
Well, then it's because you've never had my smoked turkey.
It's just going down a direction I don't know if I want to go. So let's leave it alone. Let's get to the between the white lines here.
Okay.
Blake Bortles. Look, the quarterback, we get it. It's the most important position in sports, all this stuff. The franchise selected him where they did. We all know the story. And here we are coming off a season where, yeah, he had a lot of flaws last year, but he also had tons of superlatives, yep. At least – you know, look, and I get it for the people out there, and there's a percentage out there. And when you speak, the fan base is not homogenous. They don't all agree with the same thing. There's a percentage out there that thinks Blake only performs in garbage time. Right. There's a percentage out there of people that think that, no, Blake is fine, and there are other causes. And then there's a group of people that probably are somewhat in the middle. But coming off a season where he did set records for touchdowns and yardage, and people said, yeah, but they were terrible, they were behind. Guess what? They've been bad for a long time, and right. No other quarterback has really approached the numbers that he put up for the Jags. So I was bullish about Blake. I still think he has talent, but what we're seeing on the field now, to me, the game against Tennessee was as bad as I've ever seen him look, despite the final numbers. If you just watch that first 30 minutes of football, it's as bad as I'd ever seen him look, including going back to that very first rookie minicamp where everyone was kind of going, that first day when he could not throw a spiral. So where are you on the state of the quarterback position?
He's got a lot to prove to me over the next 8 games. I don't automatically believe we've solved the quarterback situation.
Is that the scariest thing to you? Because
yeah.
Everything else, I think there's talent on this football team. I think there's a lot of talent on this football team. And people who say, oh, they're 2-6, don't try to sell us something. I'm not trying to sell anybody on anything. This is what I feel. I think they're immensely more talented a roster than they were just a couple of years ago.
Yes, we are not. Look, I am a wins guy. You and I have had arguments about wins before. We've talked about how I used to say that I didn't give a crap about Peyton Manning's stats because he can't win when it matters. And then he went and won a Super Bowl, but his defense really won it. Whatever. So,
by the way, on that point, on the text line, I'm born and raised in Denver as a Jags fan since they were announced in 93 as an 11-year-old. Doom is right. Denver fans are horrible. Can't wait to see them lose at the bank. Signed, Zariah.
I hope that happens, Zariah.
Yeah. All right.
That's all I have to say about that.
He's just backing you up. You brought up Manning. I figured
they're spoiled fans. I have family in Denver, and they'll even tell you they boo for nothing.
All right. So what? Now, I'm of the opinion, and I think you are as well, no matter how bad it gets, I'm going to run out Blake every week for the next 8 games.
Oh, absolutely. There's nobody on the roster right now that you should be going, maybe this is the answer. I understand people are going to go, Brandon Allen.
So what does he need to do then to sell you and whoever, whatever percentage of like-minded people are represented in the fan base like yourself to convince you that he is the guy that they can continue to try to build this thing around?
I need to start seeing some semblance of a spiral occasionally. Doesn't have to be perfect.
He's never going to throw the Jay Cutler ball.
No, but he was throwing some Tim Tebow balls the first half of this season. And I'm talking about the ones where Tim Tebow would throw it 5 yards short of the receiver straight into the dirt. I can't see that from my franchise quarterback. I can't see throws that are just completely off the mark.
How much better, in your mind, mm-hmm. was his performance against Kansas City compared to the – I mean, it's tough to better, right? But, I mean, if you're getting danger of saying, wow, this is so bad. Well, that's better, so it's an improvement, so we're getting better, right? I mean, it's still not
– if 10 is perfect and 1 is the worst, then obviously Tennessee was a negative 47.
Okay.
I would –
0.2.
Right. I would give Kansas City a 4. With the caveat that he wasn't under as much pressure as he might have been if Justin Houston had been playing. And I do think pressure affects Blake. It affects all quarterbacks. I think some of the throws that he threw badly, particularly against the Raiders, not necessarily Tennessee, but against the Raiders, I thought some of those bad throws were the result of trying to make something happen when he was under pressure. I didn't feel like Tennessee – really put that much pressure on him. I understood that Jarrell Casey came up the middle, but I just didn't think it was.
I think Blake had that first half was a total lack of confidence. I think to me, and this again, I'm trying to psychoanalyze along with everybody else. I just think he reached a point where he just couldn't pull the trigger. You know, yep. What I mean? It's almost like if I throw that in there, I don't trust that I'm going to get it there on target. I'm not going to have that picked off and go the other way. It's almost like I'm going to throw this ball in such a ridiculous place that I know the defender can't get it. And maybe my guy doesn't even have a shot at it, but it beats the alternative of going back for six.
Well, you know, I have some experience with that. I took a position at the company I worked for before this one that was a position that I had been after for a long time. I had really worked to get to that position. And the people who were with me in that department, it was a very small department, will tell you that for the first year that I was in that job, I really messed up a lot. And it got to the point that it was very difficult for me to act confidently in any part of that job. It really did. It was hard. And so I get that he's probably lost confidence. He knows his footwork is bad. He knows it is. He it doesn't matter if he ever gets on social media.
How much does that bother you that is an issue going into this year? And do you think it should have been more of a priority to continue to build on what he did the prior offseason?
I think that everybody that I interact with on Twitter probably would agree. Yes, he failed to do the work, in my opinion, that he should have done this past offseason. I don't know what the right amount of time is for Blake to be with his quarterback or with his quarterbacking coach.
Throwing coach, Tom House.
I don't know what the right amount of time is. Only Blake can know that. But I know 3 days, isn't it, or 2 weeks, or whatever he did.
Whatever
this
it was,
it wasn't the right amount of time.
Sufficient. All right. So look, he's not going to throw, as we said, the Jay Cutler, Ben Roethlisberger ball.
No,
that's not him. So beyond, is it a win total? Is it a certain turnover to touchdown to turnover ratio? What give me something tangible that you're going to be looking for here.
I need to see his touchdown to interception ratio get back to similar to what it was last year.
2-1, basically.
I don't need it to be volume of last year, but I need it to get back to that ratio.
But now you say that, really the last couple of games, it's way above that.
Yes.
You know, and which just shows you how misleading statistics can be.
They dropped a few.
Understood. But, I mean, if you're saying, hey, is he interception rate? Because you know what? The receivers dropped a few as well.
Absolutely.
And maybe he would have a few more touchdowns. Certainly the one to Allen Hurns was a possible one there.
Absolutely. And I tell you, you know, the other thing that I'd like to see is I'd like to see him win us a game. Him personally put the team on the back and win us a game.
Do the things down the stretch.
Yeah.
I don't
think there's going to be any games like Indianapolis last year where we just blew him out. I don't think that's coming this season. So we're going to be scrapping and fighting in every single game that we're playing in. I'd like to see Blake do like what he did against the Giants 2 years ago. Sorry, Tony.
I'm all right with it.
He just whacked him.
Biggest comeback in NFL or Jaguars history.
To me, it's more like the Bills game in London last year minus the pick six that got him in trouble. It was like he was handed the ball back. All right, I made the mistake. I got to go make something happen. And they made something happen offensively. You haven't seen that yet this year.
No, you haven't. You haven't. And I think, you know, in the beginning, his body language didn't bother me so much. But I don't like seeing him so exasperated because I think it shows he's man, I can't, you know, what do I do?
It's a good thing I'm not an NFL quarterback, I tell you what.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Who's the king of exasperation, Tony? Come on, I'm looking at him. All right, we got to take a timeout here. We'll come back. This State in Football, the Honda Drive around the NFL. More with Duval Doom. The voice of Duval Doom, whether he's the voice of the fans or not.
I'm not the voice.
He's a voice of
a fan.
himself is what he is. If you'd like to get in, 641-1010 is the way to do it. Our social media question of the day asks you to tell us that what your three bold predictions are for the second half of the season. Also, today, we got a pair of tickets we're going to give you, or give you a chance to score anyway. Jags, Texans, this Sunday, November 13th, 1 p.m. kickoff. And each winner this year, every time we give away tickets, we'll be eligible for a dinner or with Sindarik Marks, at least to win a dinner with Sindarik Marks at Three Forks and a set of Jaguar-themed rings, all courtesy of Global Diamonds. So be listening in the second hour for your opportunity to score a pair of free ducats to the Jags-Texans game coming up this Sunday. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Duval Doom here with you on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this is Dayton Football History presented by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. Let's go back to November 9th, 1997. Denver cornerback Darian Gordon tied an NFL record by returning two punts for touchdowns in the same quarter, a feat previously accomplished just twice in NFL history. Don't ask me who did it. His scoring returns of 82 and 75 yards in the first quarter gave Denver a 14-0 lead. They would go on to defeat Carolina 34-0 that day. Famous birthdays for this date. Former Jaguar first-round pick who terrorized opposing offenses with a total of 8 sacks in 3 years. Happy birthday, Derek Harvey.
Go Gator.
30 years young today. And Kristen Michael, hope you get a lot of points for short touchdowns on your fantasy team because his 5-carry, 1-yard performance this weekend netted him a touchdown. And that's what you got out of Kristen Michael. For now, the starting running back with the Seattle Seahawks, born in this state in 1990. He's 26 years old today. This Dayton Football brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. They're on Gate Parkway. If you need a family dentist, maybe some cosmetic work done, maybe you've got a snore in the family, maybe it's you, the SomnaMed Custom Fit Mouth Guard can be the solution to all of your late-night problems. Dr. McCall, also a certified Invisalign provider. Check out jamesjmccall.com and get a complete list of his comprehensive care services or call their offices at 620-9225. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Well, the president wasn't the only thing on ballots across the country yesterday. Heck, here in Florida, we get that medicinal Mary Jane coming our way in the near future. In San Diego, the initiative to increase the area's hotel tax, which needed a two-thirds vote to get passed, only received 42.5% of the vote, with 85% of that counted. The Chargers still have an exclusive option to join the Los Angeles Rams at the new stadium site in Inglewood, California, that they can exercise up through January. It'll be interesting to see where the Chargers go from here. According to Ed Warder at ESPN, Dallas quarterback Tony Romo has been cleared to return to full football activities. Romo has been limited to practice the last couple of weeks for the Cowboys, but is expected to step into the role of Dak Prescott's backup as the Cowboys now 7-1. They would be the one seed in the NFC if the playoffs were to start today. We mentioned Buffalo center Eric Wood suffering a broken leg during Monday Night Football yesterday. Wood has suffered a broken right fibula. He will be out for 6 to 8 weeks while recovering from that injury. And San Francisco's Carlos Hyde was still in a non-contact jersey at practice for the 49ers early this week as he continues to recover from a shoulder injury. Minnesota, who had a couple of kickers in for a tryout yesterday, are sticking with Blair Walsh at kicker for at least one more week.
All right, poor them. That's the way it's gone. I still think, and speaking of that, O'Halloran should be back with us tomorrow, our number two most popular weekly co-host here
on
the program. I'm
shocked he's not number one, to be honest.
Are you?
Yeah, he's so awesome.
Yeah. we can go. Tomorrow we'll go over kind of mid-season where our preseason predictions stand, Tony, including those Minnesota Vikings. I'm trying to look. How many people had Minnesota in the playoffs? Did none of us have Minnesota making the – oh, yeah, a couple of us. You and Tyler had them as a wild card.
My.
I still think they're going to fade.
My.
Wild card.
My.
Yes.
They're not going to make the playoffs because the Jags are going to start the downward spiral for them. That has already started technically.
Continue.
Right. Continue. The Jags will be the final nail in their coffin.
Yeah, exactly. And, once you lose to us, it's over.
That'll be win number 5 in a row. Jackson will be surging.
Admittedly, there was a lot of anti-Teddy Bridgewater sentiment in that selection because the frothing over Teddy Bridgewater, the ultimate game manager, just was a little too much for me.
I think that looking back at it, I definitely wanted Blake to be better than Teddy because we made the decision. Obviously, in hindsight, I think Derek Carr is probably the
right now. There's no question he's the guy. And look, here's the thing: in terms of the decision to select Blake, that I think we don't know how the rest of the season is going to play out. Right, so
sure.
I'm not saying there's that it's ultimately going to be this or that. Okay, but when you talk about the job security of Dave Caldwell, Gus Bradley, most people feel that Gus is on borrowed time, right?
Now, I think so.
Again,
yeah.
I'm not saying this is likely or expected, or I'm trying to sell you on this. If he goes 8-0 the second half of the season, he's not on borrowed time, right? So there's a possibility. I'm not saying the final chapter has been written, but I have felt all along that Dave Caldwell and Gus are not on the same schedule as far as that their job security wasn't paralleled. Because if you pick the right quarterback, then everything else, you can make up for a lot of everything else. And I think Dave Caldwell has picked a lot of right guys. Not all of them, but a lot of right guys.
Yeah.
One thing he did say when they selected Blake, one of the reasons they took him at that point, first of all, you don't know if you're going to be back in that position to get a quarterback,
right?
And you hope you're not. And as it turned out,
we have been a couple times and we probably will again
right.
this year.
But Dave Caldwell said, look, we think not only is Blake the best quarterback prospect in this draft, but that if he had returned for another year and had another year of seasoning at UCF, coming out next year, we liked him better than any of those guys, too. So to me, I think the comparison, you got Carr. You got Bridgewater, who you can kind of give an incomplete to now. You've got Mariota. You've got Winston. And I think of the ones who are not out with torn-up knees,
right.
they're all ahead of Blake.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I don't think it's even particularly close.
No, and I'll be honest with you. One of the things that I've said, and it's gotten me some pushback, there are still people on Twitter that absolutely believe in him. If he doesn't show me, and this is just me, if he doesn't show me what I need to see to at the end of the season feel like I did at the end of last season, which was we've solved our quarterback issue. If he doesn't show me that, my concern with regards to the futures of anybody is that I worry that if we didn't make a change at general manager, whoever we hire as our next head coach, if it comes to that, is going to be saddled with Blake as their quarterback, and there's not going to be any thought to go in and get another one, and that bugs me.
Oh, there'll be... we'll see when we get there, and we'll see how he plays. I mean, it's tough to have that conversation without all the evidence
at this point in time.
Right? Because you may, if Blake rebounds, and you may say, hey, I think we need to make a change in this aspect, but maybe we do have the right quarterback, and I still have hope that the right set of teachers around him can bring out the best in him on a consistent basis.
Right. My concern is that he said himself, and everybody else seems to be in agreement, that you can't fix mechanics during the season very easily. So if he doesn't fix his mechanics, I worry that he's not going to show us what we need to see. And then if you don't see what you need to see,
you're in no man's land a little bit, right?
Do I believe him again? Yeah, and that's it's awful. QB purgatory is the worst.
Here's one on Twitter from Black Dog Express, who I think it was Black Dog Express, and I may be getting this wrong, but he tweeted me a couple weeks ago and asked me to give him a birthday shout out, and it was on like two Fridays ago, I think it was. So happy belated to you, because I forgot to do it. Black Dog Express. Here were his three bold predictions for the second half of the season: a pick six by Miles Jack at some point in the season. Okay, a long B2 bomb to A-Rob, and TJ breaks away from multiple big gains, but he threw in a bonus one, and Doom gets a positive Jagitude. Hashtag Jaguars today.
That's probably not going
to
happen.
No? Come on, man.
We're to the point now where winning doesn't even feel like winning. I mean, we're to the point where...
Are you one of these people now that... I say these people. You have the right to... Ultimately, you have the right to the root however you want. And the ultimate goal is to win a championship.
No, I'm not rooting for them to lose.
You're not? Okay.
No. But my thing is, this was supposed to be the season that we competed. Last year, if we beat the Titans, Johnny was a happy boy because, man, I hate the Titans. Just beat them. I knew we weren't going anywhere last year. This year, even the wins don't matter. Nobody here believes this team's going to get hot and make 96 happen all over again. And that's the part that really stinks. Like, even if they win now, I don't get that excited. I didn't get that excited when we beat Chicago because it was so sloppy and so ugly and it didn't prove anything. It's better than losing. But
I totally understand where you're coming from. And there is a lot of that, but I feel bad for the fans who have been so disheartened to this point that when they do win, it's almost like twisting the knot. Like, oh, yeah, okay, sure, win this one, and now you're 3-whatever, and a big deal. Just you're almost like you're teasing us. That there's a segment of the fan base, and I can't tell you how big it is, that just feels like. It's almost disappointing, like you said, when they win, because it's just a tease and a what could have been kind of thing.
It's a pretty big segment.
It's
a big segment on Twitter, which is a small segment of the fan base.
Exactly. I'm not arguing that there are a bunch of people out there, but at the same time,
there's still people that love them and believe in them. I stopped to get gas this morning. I wanted to buy a Gatorade and put some ice in my Yeti, so I said, hey, can I get some ice? And she said, sure, because you're wearing a Jags hat. And she was so happy about it, and I just wanted to go, Yeah.
And a BCB shirt, too.
I don't think she knew what that was.
No?
No, but she said, you're wearing a Jags hat, so you can have free ice.
All right, we're gonna make it a little bit positive here. It's been
pretty negative.
It's been realistic. I mean, this is how you feel. So we're going to look for you to give us some the positives you took out of the first half.
Okay.
And as well as some positives that you think are accomplishable, is that right? Within the ability for the Jags to accomplish in the second half of the season, I said very elegantly. So we'll do that when we return, and we'll also check in on the text line driven by Duval Ford at 641-1010. Social media question of the day out on Twitter and on Facebook as well. Give us your three bold predictions for the Jaguars for the remaining eight games of the 2016 regular season. And still to come, chance to score a pair of tickets to Jags-Texans coming up this weekend. And the winner will ultimately be eligible for a dinner with Senderic Marks, at least to go in a drawing for a dinner with Senderic Marks at Three Forks with our other winners this year, and a set of Jaguar-themed rings courtesy of Global Diamonds. And when we do it, I'll tell you this right now, I don't know when Tyler's going to fire it, but we'll do our favorite steal the show lady. So when you hear us say you can't let a newcomer come in and steal the show, then we'll take the fourth caller at 641-1010 for a pair of tickets. That's coming up here with you on Jaguars Day. We're live at Everbank on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
This is Alan Hearns, and you are listening to Jaguars Today on 1010 XL.
Alan Hearns, will he be suiting up this Sunday? We'll find out, to be determined, as he is in the concussion protocol for the Jags. Duval Doom requested a little extra time to come up with some positives for the second half of the season, so we'll move up the injury report. And in for Dr. Stephen Lucy from Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, Dr. John Von Thrawn. You have such a fun name to say, Doc. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good to see you. Of course, Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the official sports medicine providers of your Jacksonville Jaguars. Overall, it's been a fairly healthy season, wouldn't you say, halfway through for the Jags?
Yeah, absolutely. I think at this time last year, we were talking about four or five guys with hamstring injuries
right.
And a few other, a lot of people out, but it seems to be doing a lot better this year.
Luke Jokel may disagree, obviously for individual guys, but I just think week to week, it's been pretty remarkable, actually, how healthy and how many of their guys that, when guys don't play, it's generally been a coach's decision at this point in time. The Texans have their own issues, and we'll get to that coming up, but mention Alan Hearns, Brian Walters, both of these guys in the concussion protocol, which could put a lot of stress on the Jaguars wide receiver core without getting, too much into where they stand in particular. As a general rule, when you're trying to clear these guys for a turn to play, how much time do they need from the last time they experienced symptoms? Like, in other words, if they have some kind of concussion-related headache on Monday or Tuesday, is there still time to get that turned around by Sunday? Or do you almost need to be, from day one when you start the week, ready to go?
Yeah, I think if a guy is still symptomatic with the concussion symptoms on Monday and Tuesday, it's very unlikely that they're going to be able to play the following Sunday. You do need a little bit more time than that to work through the protocol.
So if we don't see, it's a fair inference to make, and it's not written in stone, but a fair inference that if we don't see Alan Hearns and Brian Walters, say, at practice today, and that's why they're being held out, that the chances are prepare for a larger role for Marquise Lee and Rashad Green and Aurelius Ben, right?
Yeah, I think that's very likely, yes.
All right. Well, some other guys banged up. Jared Odrick, do you get a sense? Do you know if he's any closer to returning? He's missed a little time now. Tyson Alualu filling in?
Yes, he has the foot sprain. Fortunately, I don't believe it's the dreaded Liz Frank injury, so hopefully he's getting close to coming back.
And people want to know, too, about Miles Jack. Is there anything? He's dealing with a groin strain right now, basically, kind of day-to-day?
Yes.
Situation, nothing catastrophic in that regard.
Should not be.
Just one of those things that guys deal with on that we don't even think about on a day-to-day basis. Now, certainly the Texans coming in, they're not going to feel sorry for anybody on the injury front when they lost a guy that Doom thinks is probably the most overrated defensive player in the league, but
he is.
That's him, okay? J.J. Watt's had a disc problem with his back. He's had multiple back surgeries right now. To me, he is the best defensive player this league has seen since at least Reggie White. That's my opinion. Lawrence Taylor, Reggie White, J.J. Watt, to me, are the best three of that time period. What is the expectation or hope that he's going to return to that level? Not that we hope he returns to that level of play, but from the Texans' vantage point, how reasonable is it to expect that they can get back the guy that, when he was healthy, was terrorizing offenses?
Well, back injuries are really difficult for professional athletes to overcome. You see that a guy like J.J. Watt, probably one of the best conditioned athletes in his sport. You know, Tiger Woods, maybe one of the best conditioned athletes in his sport. And you see what's happened with Tiger. I think that has a lot to do.
Nobody's
with
hitting Tiger either.
Right. But that's
except his former wife, maybe. I don't know.
But a lot of stress on his back with his sport, and the same with J.J. And I think, you know, everybody's different, but it could be a challenge for him to get back to his previous level of play. He's not going to be able to, you know, do his usual workouts and exercise routine, which he's famous for. He's going to have to alter that. And he's had two back surgeries now. You know, every time you go in, it just makes things a little bit more difficult to overcome. So I think he's got, you know, an uphill battle to try to get back to his, you know, full level of play where he was before this.
Wasn't that kind of what happened to John Henderson towards the end? Didn't he start to have a little bit of back problems, and
yeah,
it made him less disruptive up the middle?
No question about it. I mean, you got to have it. You can't have back issues and play the game at the level that those guys have been accustomed to playing. Now, Doom's got some hurt feelings over here. Any remedy for this guy?
I don't have any hurt feelings.
Anything that you could tell him moving forward?
Stop listening to what they say. That's probably it.
Let me ask you this as we get ready to wrap up Dr. John Von Thrawn here with us with your weekly injury report from Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute. Is there a period in the year when players seem to be more susceptible to injuries? In other words, like, you know, maybe you have more heat-related issues in September, but is it just the case of the more wear and tear, the later in the season you get, the more likely because you're accumulating all these hits, or is it a little more random than that?
No, I think as the year goes on, I would expect more injuries. People, you know, when you're tired, you're more susceptible to injury, and, you know, their legs kind of start getting more tired as the year goes on. And then, as you said, little minor injuries can slow them down and, again, make them more susceptible to injuries in the future.
All right. Dr. John Von Thrawn, we appreciate you coming in and putting up with us with the weekly injury report brought to you by Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the official sports medicine providers of your Jacksonville Jaguars. And say hello to Dr. Lucy for us. Good to see you, brother.
All right. Great to be here.
All right. There he goes, Dr. John Von Thrawn with a look. And let's hope that we get speedy recovery for Allen Hurns and Brian Walters and get those guys back on the field as quickly as possible. We'll check in on the text line here coming up. Doom, I need some positivity out of you. First of all, first eight games of the season, all right? Other than Jalen Ramsey, you expressed your undying affection for.
Right.
Okay, give me some positives. I don't need a list of 10, but just give me some things that you're still bullish about this team and
sure,
the whole nine yards.
It looks like we drafted our punter in the third round now.
Okay.
Which is good,
you,
right?
In other words, you have a good punter.
Yes, I like Brad. Yeah. He is good at his job.
He does well. This doesn't seem to be going well, Tony, if we're
no,
starting
no, the next one. The next one is a legitimate one. How about the albino tiger?
How about Marquise Lee?
I love that guy.
Well, do you love Robinson and Hurns any less, or are you just happy that Marquise Lee's finally healthy and contributing?
No, I love Hurns and I love Marquise.
You do? All right.
Yeah.
Now this is strictly a between the lines thing that I get where you're going with that, but just Marquise could be in line for an even bigger role now if these guys, you know, if Hurns and Walters don't play this weekend. I'm not saying they will or they won't. I don't know. But you just heard Dr. Von Thrawn say,
sure,
you kind of need to be clear for the whole week to have a reasonable expectation to return. Could have an even bigger role. People would be clamoring for him to get the ball downfield. They got it to him,
yep,
this week. Made a big play in what should have been a touchdown drive, obviously.
I feel like Marquise was probably supposed to be that centerpiece a little bit more than A-Rob. Maybe only a smidge. But, I mean, if you look at the way the draft played out that year, they clearly liked Marquise a little more.
I think, and Dave Colwell said this, they never expected him to be there.
Right.
Not that they didn't scout him, but they were really planning on selecting Allen Robinson with the pick where they took Marquise Lee. Had Lee been off the board, and then he was there, and they said, don't we have to do this? We got to do this. So, yeah, you're right. The fact that they took him there and risked missing out on Allen Robinson indicates to me that they expect big things out of him as well.
And I thought it was interesting. I want to say it was maybe on Jaguars Thursday or Jaguars Monday. It might have been you guys, but somebody was talking about how Keese played or ran track. in the spring at college, and they made the supposition that is it possible that his hamstrings, he's just such a fast guy and such a muscular guy that he needs to be working out all the time. And that, you know, theoretically, because they said this offseason he went and worked with his old track coach during the offseason. And so far, knock on wood,
right,
you know, things have been better. So I almost wonder if maybe it's just a matter if he had to get, you know, I know Fred's talked about before how the first few years of his career, he doesn't feel like he did everything he should have done for the health of his body and what he ate. And I've heard Fred say that before. I've never heard Marquise say that, but I wonder if maybe there's a regimen that he found this offseason that, you know, knock on wood again, is helping him to be what we wanted him to be when we drafted him.
All right, so you like the punter.
Yep.
You like Marquise Lee.
Yep.
What else you got?
It's Jalen. Jalen's all right. So awesome.
We'll let you go back to Jalen. Hey, look, I do agree that that Jalen is on track. If, you know, we assume he'll continue to develop in the right direction. But
sure.
I've said it many times already in the last, you know, as maybe as recently or as early as a month ago. I think he's going to be considered a top five or six corner in the NFL about a year from now.
And it's not just his play. His play is the most important thing, but for me personally, it's also that he runs his mouth a little bit.
The attitude, the little chip on his shoulder.
I love it.
He comes from look, a lot of these guys come from winning programs, but he comes from a program that didn't lose a whole lot. And, you know, when you do that, you develop kind of a cockiness or a swagger,
sure,
whatever you want to describe it. And he is trying to bring that here to some degree. It's tough to be the vanguard of that when you're the rookie.
You're not winning, and you're
losing.
But, I mean, who among us? Who among us hasn't wanted to say something to Steve Smith? Honestly, I loved it. When he did it, I was like, yeah, don't take any crap from that over-the-hill
so-and-so.
Yeah. So, I mean, I like that. I like that.
Are you disappointed that Miles Jack has not made more of an impact?
A little bit, yeah. And I feel like the narrative was, for the longest time, that it was – a coaching issue, a coaching decision, possibly a little bit of his not being able to participate in the off season. But I feel even more so now. I just don't know. I don't know that there's a spot that Miles is going to excel at until we put him in the spot that we drafted him to play. And I'm not saying we need to get rid of Paws right now. I understand the way Paws is playing this year is better. Because it looked to me, and you guys tell me if I'm wrong, I'm not a football analyst, but it looked to me this past Sunday that Dan Scuda made more plays at that position.
He did, this week, right. I mean, we were almost kind of joking about it, Tony, as the game was going on. People get so angry. some get so angry,
yep,
when they even see Scuda out on the field, and I think you're right. He was more impactful. Now, Miles got hurt a little bit this week, so you know you factor that in. But at this point, it's a lost first half of his rookie season.
I love his enthusiasm.
I do too. I think he's got a great
Thursday
attitude.
Thursday night game when he downed the punt and he kind of slid towards the sideline holding the ball up like, look what I found, coach. I mean, that's about the only time I smiled during that whole game.
You know what I love? And you don't have to do this when you come in, but I just love the fact that he's so embraced. He chose to embrace the positive aspect of coming here as opposed to the what did I miss out on? Because, bro, people talk all the time you can make that money up. You never make the money up.
No.
Because the next contract you get, well, you were going to get that on top of all that other money that you were making as a high first-round pick. So he lost money he's never going to be able to recoup, no matter what kind of contracts he gets going forward.
Ask Fred about you make that money up.
Sure.
I mean, you don't. There's no question that every time you get a paycheck from the NFL, that's huge.
But the bottom line, I think he endeared himself to the fan base.
He did.
And he will do so more, I hope, because I do think Miles Jack's a talented guy.
Yeah.
Plenty of guys get lost in the wash in, you know, it's like Marquise. You know, last year, Tony, how many calls did we take? Not many, I guess, but a surprising number. The fact that we got any, saying, let's get rid of Marquise Lee.
Yeah, once a month we'd have to have they're not going to cut Marquise Lee.
Dude, Twitter is so stream of consciousness. I guarantee you that if you spent the time searching my tweets, you'd probably find some negative tweets about Marquise. I'm sure you would. I mean, you know, that's the beauty and the curse of social media is people think you say something one time and forever that's your opinion and you're stuck to that opinion and you can't change it.
Oh, yeah. You said this 3 years ago. Well, I probably thought that 3 years ago. I was wrong. Thanks for pointing it out.
Right.
I've been wrong before. I'll be wrong again.
Right. And that's the way I feel. And I still feel the same way about Dante. We haven't talked about him, but I feel like it's not an unreasonable expectation to expect a defensive end to take a year. I know by the end of 2008, I think it was 2008 that we drafted Derek. I didn't feel like Derek Harvey had shown me anything to indicate that he was going to develop. But I still thought maybe he could, and I feel that way about Dante. Dante has the speed. He just almost – doesn't it feel like he doesn't know what to do with it?
Yeah.
Like he just comes off the line and it just almost kind of like
– Right. He goes out there and you should have been here when Tom McManus gave Tony and I a visual demonstration.
He did a whole dance basically here in this room showing us what Dante's doing. And look, that's a guy who played – you know, defense in the NFL for a long time, so he's watching that kind of thing. Dante, to me, feels like a guy, and we've talked to Loggeman about this, Yannick Ngakoue is a much more polished pass rusher.
Yep.
He has moves. He's trying to do some things. He's still limited in what he can do in his first year in the league, but he has some things that he works off of. Dante's got one move, and it's speed. And I think every day in practice, they're trying to get Dante to develop something off that speed because it is just crazy how quick he is off the line of scrimmage. And I think Dante gets in his own head. Instead of saying before the snap, I'm going speed, I think he says before the snap, I'm going to set this guy up, and they snap the ball, and he just stands up and goes, what do I do? Like, and I think it's in his own head instead of just saying, okay, I'm going to use my inside move that I'm not very good at, or I'm just going to go with my speed rush because that's what I know I can do. I think he gets in his own head sometimes and tries to react to the tackle instead of just being an athlete.
Seems like maybe there should be a position within an organization that's responsible for developing that talent into what you need it to be.
All right. Dante, by the way, and this is not to say he is Khalil Mack or will be Khalil Mack, but just as by way of comparison, when you talk about pass rushers needing time to develop, Khalil Mack's first season, he had 4 sacks for the Raiders.
Yep.
I mean, that's okay.
J.J. Watt had 3 or 4. He
right. And, I mean, Dante's got 2.5 right now, and people can say, well, you know, he's they're not even him. They were created by somebody else. I haven't watched Khalil Mack's rookie season to see if he was creating his own place. You know, my point being, he went from that to being considered one of the best, if not the best defender in the league, at least last year. He was an all-pro at two positions. Not saying Dante will be that. I'm just saying it is an actual phenomenon. Some guys do take a year. Some guys take 2 years. And it's tough to have that patience when you haven't had a winning season in a while.
Please don't use the P word anymore.
I'm not using it as a way to tell you what to have.
I know.
I'm just using it as a way to recognize what some people don't have right now. Well, you've got to take a time out here. We'll come back and we'll get some of those bold predictions out there for the second half of the Jaguars season as submitted on social media today. It's our fan feedback question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush Family Dealerships. Your 3 bold predictions for the second half of 2016 for the Jags. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, and Duval Doom in the house. Don't forget your chance to score a pair of Jags Texans tickets still coming up when you hear the Steal the Show lady be caller number 4 at 641-1010. It's Jaguars today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Daily is brought to you by Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the official sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
The Jaguars will play host to the Houston Texans on Sunday at Everbank Field, and yesterday Malik Jackson joined the guys of Midday Chalk and talked about the team improving against Kansas City.
Definitely we look good. You know, I think we just got to keep building on that and be consistent. I mean, we're out there, we played a tough game. It would have been nice to come out with the win, but, you know, we're still making a few key mistakes, and you know, luckily it's things that we can fix, and we're going to fix them, but I think we're going in the right direction. We've got to keep being consistent, and it's a big challenge with the Texans coming in this week, so hopefully we can.
This has been Jaguars Daily, brought to you by JOI. I'm Jordan DeArmond.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, we're asking for bold predictions today on social media. It's interesting what some people think is bold and some people think the opposite is bold. I'll give you some case in points here from the Jaguars Today Facebook page. It's brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships. As we ask you your fan feedback question today, give us the 3 bold predictions for the Jaguars' second half of the season. I'll start with Josh Stewart, who says, number 1, Gus Bradley finishes the season as coach. I expect him to at this point, Tony.
Me too.
I think there was a chance that it wouldn't have happened had they had another game like the Tennessee game against Kansas City, and you're talking about, you know, there may be a lot of empty seats anyway, but I mean, the malaise that would have settled, and at least they played more competitive football. So I don't think it's going, I think he will finish the season, so I wouldn't think that's bold, but that's all right. So Josh said Gus Bradley finishes the season. Chris Ivory finishes the season with at least 10 touchdowns. That's extremely bold, okay? That is a bold one. And the Jaguars finish the season with a top 18 defense. That doesn't seem that bold to me anyway, but we appreciate it. Hashtag Jaguars today.
Where are they at now in defensive rankings?
I was going to say, right, they're pretty good against the run, I think, overall. You tell me where they are.
Let me look. I'm good.
But the point being, his first one was Gus Bradley finishes the season as coach, okay? Then the second one from Scott says, number one, bold prediction, Gus will be fired before the season. So one of them thinks it's bold that he will be fired. The other one says it'll be bold if he doesn't get fired the rest of the way. So just kind of
I don't think he's getting fired.
Mixed bag. Now, maybe this is bold. I think Scott is maybe looking at the culmination of the season because he says Gus fired, Caldwell will stay, and they'll have a top five pick. I don't think any of those are particularly bold, but that's fine. Let's get to some other ones here. Joshua Lee Wright said we finished 6-10, which would be 4-4 down the stretch here. Gus Bradley and David Caldwell are fired after week 17, and Shad Khan hires Bill Polian as our new general manager. Let's see. Zach said bold. They win a game. They eventually stop blaming the fans for things that happen, and Gus should be canned, but won't be. That would be bold.
That is bold, Zach.
Let's see. Daniel went with 6-2 to finish 8-8. That's one prediction, but that is a bold one.
He's coming back at 3-13.
Hey, if we Andrej in Ireland said, if we keep performance on a high level like the Kansas City game, we will start piling up wins. I go for the second half. 8-0. Miracles happen in the United States. Go Trump. That's Andre from Ireland. So miracles do happen.
Okay.
What? That's what he said.
That's what he said.
What'd you say?
I'm just reading the Facebook post right
there. Alrighty.
8-0. Okay. That is bold. That is probably the boldest one
that we've
got out there. Did they play at a high level? The defense, I think, did play at a high level against Kansas
Sunday?
City.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, granted, I get the circumstances. People want to say, oh, they had this guy on, that guy out. And they did. And
there's
that's
some
fine.
Legitimacy
but,
to that, but you play who's in front of you.
But when you play a team that's depleted, you should shut them down. And they did shut them down.
Yep.
They had plenty of three and outs. They had tremendous job defensively on third down. I mean, one of the best you'll ever see from this organization. You can watch a lot of Jaguar football. You may never see another 1-for-14 from the opponent on third down. Honestly, I mean, how many years might it go? But as we know, 4 turnovers, just awful, and they were within a hair's breadth of being shut out on the road in the first half again. Tony on Twitter, what kind of bold predictions did we get?
I'll get to those in a second. Just letting you know, the Jags defense 11th in yards per game. To this point this season, they are 25th in scoring defense, 26.9 points. If he wanted to get the 18th in the league, that's Green Bay at 23.4. So they're basically 3 points off of that.
Okay.
If they were going to get to that kind of level, which is doable over the second half of the season. From Jason, they'll win 4 games. Blake will be benched at halftime in 1 game. And Malik Jackson leads the team in sacks. Amish Jaguar, mild. Jalen wins Defensive Rookie of the Year. Bold. Offense reverts to last year's form. And fire. Jags went out and make the playoffs. From Dumbfounded Dave, 3 straight losses. Bradley fired. Marone brought up. 5 straight wins to end the season. From Aussie Jag, Marquise Lee is the leading receiver. Chris Ivory with 4 games over the last 8 over 100 yards, and Malik Jackson with 5 more sacks. From Jeff, the Jaguars don't win a game at Everbank this year. Bortles improves. Nortman to the Pro Bowl, baby. From Senior Fuentes, finish as a top 10 defense, 3 1,000 yards receivers. That's nuts. And Chris Ivory will reach 1,000 yards rushing, almost as nuts as the last one. From Kurt, Jags win 6 more games, lose to Broncos and Vikings. From Irish Jaguar, sunshine, rainbows, and unicorns, his bold prediction.
You know, the 1,000-yard receiver thing, they're all on pace for about 900 right now, right? They're all right around 442 for a couple.
442, 443, and right. 444, I think.
I think two of them are at 442 and one of them's at 443. Regardless, you double that production in the second half of the season, and you get close to 900. I don't think it's unfathomable that a couple of them get to 1,000 yards this year, but likely not all 3 of them. But
you'd think we'd win some games if that happened, though.
You would think, but, you know, they didn't win a bunch of games last year when you had two guys and one guy going for 1,400 yards. Hey, because I did. All right, Duval Doom, you have however many home games you have left for the rest of the season. Will you be utilizing your tickets for all those games? Will you be showing up?
I will be at every game.
You will be.
Yeah.
All right. Your BCB brethren, I would assume many of them, most of them will?
I don't know. Some of them, I think there's a large chunk of them that won't be.
Well, that's their prerogative.
It is their prerogative, and at first I wasn't necessarily the best friend about it because it bothers me. But the more I thought about it, and the more I looked at it, I really just felt like, you know, they want to show the people that they're angry at what a bad fan looks like, and a bad fan looks like an empty seat. So that's the way they're going to go.
By the way, Joshua Williams, congratulations, our winner of tickets to go see the Jags-Texans this week. I assume he will be showing up for the game.
I would assume, yeah.
Each time we give away tickets and we have a winner like Joshua, he goes into a drawing where he'll be eligible to win a dinner with some Derek Marks at Three Forks and also a set of Jaguar-themed rings, all courtesy of Global Diamond. So congrats to him for that. Tyler, it took him about 3 seconds. I haven't mentioned it yet. Did a quick Twitter search of Duval Doom from July 29th of this year. Quoting Duval Doom, Marquise ain't never getting a second contract from this team anyway.
I was wrong.
You are an emotional dude, because I've seen you be the in Gus we trust guy, the complete opposite. I've seen you swing back a few times. And again, that's your prerogative as a fan, to be as inconsistent and hypocritical as possible.
I always believe they're going to get better. I always believe it's going to be new and better and different and not yield the same results.
By the way, Tony, apparently now six-timer doesn't think he needs to bring us breakfast.
No.
Hell.
No.
Unbelievable, this guy. All right,
dude. That had nothing to do with it.
It's good to have you on board. Looking forward to seeing a few of the overseas folks get in here. Stoff tweeted out something today. I think 17 days till he's in town. We got Aussie Jag coming. We got Irish Jag coming. So making the trek, the pilgrimage to Everbank.
I think Stevie's sitting with me for one game.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. There you go. Good man. Tomorrow, Ryan O'Halloran in. We'll kind of give a little recap of where we predicted the NFL season to be and look ahead to the Jags and the Texans. And it looks like we're wide open on Friday, as David Garrard has got the week off. He's traveling. In fact, he was getting out of town today, if I'm not mistaken. All right, Doom, good to see you, buddy.
You too, man. Thanks
check
for
him out
me.
On Twitter at Duval_Doom. And that does it for us today. For Fat Tony, for Doom, for Tyler Devitt, and Joe Fortunato, we appreciate our friends at Metro Rooter. They bring you the show every Wednesday. Stick around, because the Midday Chalk is coming up next on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Duval.
You guys have a good day. Peace.